Well, we're going back to Isaiah. So if you have your Bible, start turning there. Isaiah chapter 3 is where we're at today. Again, I want to remind people that well, we will be having a new membership class. I've been asked about that. We'll be having one, and we will be having one here on the 21st from 10 to 2. If you can't make that time and you're interested in becoming a member of Northbrook, I mean, to attend, you don't have to be a member. Okay, anybody can come. But if you want to claim Northbrook as yours and kind of take some ownership of it and want to be part of that, we'd love to go take you through the class. Just because you go through the class doesn't mean that you have to become a member either. It's a good place to come and learn and see what the church is about. And then make your decision from there. If you can't make that class, we can always do it one-on-one, and or I'll probably have one again later this fall, closer to the end of November. So just so you know, that's out there. Another thing I'd like to remind you of, just so you know, is if you have a ministry need, don't hesitate to call myself, Esther John, one of the elders. Let us know what you need. We'll be happy to pray with you if you have a physical need. If there's something that we can do to help you out, we will try. If it's something that we need to address to the deacons, we'll direct you to one of the deacons or ask one of them. The deacons are the ones who are in charge of our benevolence fund. It's not very big fund, but it is there. So we do have a little bit of help. If you have somebody who needs prayer, if you have somebody who's in the hospital that needs to be visited, this is what we're here for. We want to do ministry. Let us know. Isaiah chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and it reads, "See now the Lord Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, all supplies of food and all supplies of water, the hero and warrior, the judge and prophet, the soothsayer and elder, the captain of 50, and the man of rank, the counselor, skilled craftsman, and clever enchanter. I will make boys their officials, mere children will govern them. People will oppress each other. Man against man, neighbor against neighbor, the young will rise up against the old, the base against the honorable. A man will seize one of his brothers at his father's home and say, 'You have a cloak. You be our leader. Take charge of this heap of ruins.' But in that day he will cry out, 'I have no remedy. I have no food or clothing in my house. Don't make me a leader of the people.' Jerusalem staggers. Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. Look on their faces. Testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them! They have brought disaster upon themselves. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked! Disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. Youth suppress my people. Women rule over them. My people, your guides, lead you astray. They turn you from the path. The Lord takes his place in court. He rises to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord Almighty?" Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that we can enter into your very presence. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me as I preach your word. And Lord, this day it is a daunting word. It is one of rebuke and one of caution. Lord, give me wisdom and anointing to preach your word in such a manner that your people would if needed, receive the correction. And Lord, that Your people would see the example so that they might steer clear of falling into the same traps of those who have gone before. Lord, we pray that Your word would indeed be an encouragement and a blessing to us this day and every day. We ask Your Holy Spirit to be present here now. And Lord, we pray Your name would be lifted up and glorified, and Your people truly encouraged and blessed. Lord, we give You this time. We give You ourselves. And we say, Lord, be present here in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is most likely still a continuation of this earlier prophecy, and it continues on over the next chapter or two. And last week we looked and we saw how it was the covenant, that there was this covenant, this agreement that the people of Israel had entered into, that Abraham, the father of many nations, had entered into on their behalf. And now, and we saw how they had broken that covenant. Now we begin to see the judgment. One of the things that stands out here, though, as he brings out the judgment and begins to speak that, is, see now the Lord. Okay, we just say there. The Lord. I'm talking about the Lord. I'm talking about God, right? Well, that's not good enough. He says, the Lord Almighty. He wants to make sure that we are aware that those who are reading this, who are hearing this prophecy, are aware. We're just not talking about the Lord of creation, the Lord of love and kindness. We're talking about the Lord Almighty, the one who has all might and power. Not some of it, not even most of it, all of it. Almighty. Not more mighty, Almighty. This is the Almighty. And He's the one who's bringing judgment. Now, if we weren't a little bit taken aback before, we ought to now. We should be sitting back saying, oh, this can't be good. Okay? Because we are faced with judgment. See now, the Lord Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. And the supply and support is in materials, but mostly what he's talking about here is leadership. The leaders. And not just those who are supposed to be the ones in leader, but also those who are illegitimately in leadership. Pastor, what's an illegitimate leader? That's somebody who should not ought to be leading, who is a position or of authority that should not be there. Where are those? Well, we've got some clever enchanters here. Enchanter is not something that Jews are supposed to have as part of their power structure. Politician. So they're leaders. These are the people that are supposed to be running out of town on a rail or stoning. The soothsayer, again, an illegitimate piece of leadership here that is listed. People were going to enchanters and soothsayers in addition to those who were. And God is going to take all the leadership away from them, even that which is illegitimate. Because even the illegitimate ones are there on God's sufferance. He's going to take them. Why? Well, we see later, or takes his place, and he rises judge, and he enters judgment against the elders and the people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. Now, chapter 5 is going to be about the vineyard. But we're still here in chapter 3. But it's God's vineyard. You have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. Now, plunder, what's plunder? Yar, maybe, yeah. It's something that a pirate maybe, or somebody, a thief has stolen. It's something you take. You didn't buy it. You didn't gain it by legal means. Or it's something that an army will take. They will take plunder when they conquer a people. They took it by force of arms. The leaders here said, you have the plunder from the people you're supposed to be leading in your house. You don't get plunder in your house unless you're the one who took it. You're supposed to be the leader. This is failed leadership. This isn't leadership. This is abuse. In the verses just before this, verse 12, it says, youths oppress my people, women rule over them. This is not the proper order. Oh, my people, your guides lead you astray. They turn you from the path. Those who are in leadership aren't leading where they're supposed to lead. What we have here in Judah and Jerusalem, and maybe within our own country, is failed leadership. How do we know that if it's failed leadership? Well, we got these guys who are ravishing the vineyard. They are destroying it instead of caring for it and bringing forth the fruit and sending the proper amount back to the owner. Instead, they're plundering it. They're plundering those who they are supposed to be protecting instead of making sure that the needs of the people are being met. They're lining their own nests, taking care of themselves. See, why other people are poor and starving, they have a lot. A lot. In fact, they have what is supposed to be the poor, have got what is supposed to have gone to the poor. They've diverted resources. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor? Okay, crushing my people, grinding the face. I don't know about you, I don't like to be crushed. Grinding my face, not make me happy. Okay, anybody here want their face ground? Not seeing any takers. Okay, this is what they're doing. This is what's going on. So, God brings his judgment. The Almighty says, I'm removing all these leaders. I'm taking them out. Oh, because you let them be in the leaders? Guess what? You now get to be led by the type of leaders. I will make boys their officials. Mere children will govern them. People will oppress each other. See, I'm going to put those who are not qualified into the position of leadership. And that's the punishment upon those who allowed poor leadership to stay in place. See, Jerusalem staggers. Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom and Gomorrah, like Sodom. They do not hide. I always want to say Sodom and Gomorrah whenever I see Sodom. Yeah. They have brought disaster upon themselves. See, the leaders led where they should not have gone, but the people followed. We are responsible for whom we follow and where we go. We're responsible for who's in leadership over us. We're supposed to make sure that they're doing a good job. And if they are not, we're not supposed to follow them. If we do, well, we're going to get to reap the benefit. Woe to them! They have brought disaster upon themselves. I don't like it when God says, woe. We're not talking about woe, the horsey. We're talking like, woe as in woe is me. This is not good. It's going to hurt. I'm going to cry. Tears of anguish. Not just, I got a boo-boo. These things are going to get bad. That's woe. Woe is me. It's the rending of the heart and the spirit. This is not, I stubbed my toe. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked. Again with the woe. Woe to the wicked. Disasters upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. I don't want to get paid back if I did bad stuff. This woe is not so good. You know, we have this reference back to Sodom. And we have this reference to those who are righteous. Anybody here remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? This was a story which is well familiar to those whom Isaiah was speaking to. He's speaking of the sin of Sodom. What was the problem? What was the issue there? Well, a couple of God's angels went down to investigate, see if there was maybe after Abraham had done a bunch of negotiation, 10 righteous people in the whole city. That's all I needed to come up with. It was 10 good people. These guys come into town. Lot's sitting there at the gate. Susan said, well, it's getting close to dark. You guys better come in. Come on into my house quick. No, we're going to stay here in the city square. And they said, no. You don't want to do that. No. Well, you're going to come to my house. Please come to my house. You'll like it much better. Takes them there. And no more gets them in the house and begins to prepare a meal for them than there's a crowd out front. They're banging on the door. Bring them out. There's some new guys in town. We want to have sex with them. What? That's what it says right in the text. We want to have sex with them. Now, they flaunted their sin. They parade their sin like Sodom, is the comment. Now when the angels went to Sodom to look to see if there was 10 righteous so that they could save the city, no such luck. There weren't 10 righteous. By the time things were all said and done, only 3 got away out of town, unscathed. Sam's wife didn't make it. Just him? Or not Sam's wife. Lot's wife didn't make it. Just Lot and his 2 daughters. And following the later stories, I'm not so sure how righteous they were. So we'll just move on from there. But a the look on their faces testifies against them. They do not hide it. The issue was that they had gone, moved so far away from people. The leaders have led the people of Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, so far away from God that what they're saying, sin is now a good thing. It's now all right. We see that in our society here today. We've got all sorts of people running around town saying, you know, it's not really sin. It's okay. God made me that way. God didn't make anybody that way. God gave us all choices. Gave us all challenges to overcome difficulties. I got more than my own fair share of problems. I sin. And I need to go to God and seek help to overcome. The problem arises when we no longer seek God's help to overcome our sin. We no longer recognize the fact that sin is actually sin. Our leaders have been told us, no, 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 that's not sin. That's actually a good thing. Don't trust me on this. But you see, it's not. And in the process, it destroyed the people of Jerusalem and Judah. And people, the same thing happens here in our own country today. We have leaders who are out there telling us that what is sin is actually good. It's not. It's sin. How do I know it's sin? What God's Word says is sin. Not what I say is sin. What God's Word says is sin. I'm human. I'm fallible. I might think something's a sin. In fact, something might be sin for me, but it might not be for you. There are such situations where that is actually the case. Some of us have different issues. But there are some things which are forbidden for all of us. There are some things which are just sin, period. And it's laid out here in Scripture. Sex outside of the relationship of a husband and wife, God's Word is pretty clear on that. Anything other than that is wrong. Taking what belongs to your neighbor, God's Word is clear on that. If it's not yours, you can't take it. It's wrong. Worshipping anybody, anything other than God Almighty, the Creator of the heaven and the earth, is wrong. Anything else? Long and short of it, wrong, sin. But we have bad leaders in Judah and Jerusalem that were telling the people, no, 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 it's okay. They were actually rebellious against God. I mean, they are defying His glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. You ever see somebody with a defiant look just says, you can't make me? Or, I don't believe you? Or, you ever look down that face of defiance? You ever been the one with the look, maybe? I don't know, maybe even at the other end. The one being defiant. Well, right here is God's Word. And it's a cautionary tale for us. Because He's bringing judgment against the leadership. Oh, and then He's going to let the people have the leadership that they earned through following false leaders, which leads them into a tailspin of monumental depths. They don't have food, they don't have leaders, they got people oppressing each other, their society is crumbling. This is a warning to us. We need to be looking at our leaders, examining them. This is why I tell you to take out your Bible. If what I'm teaching you is not what this Bible is teaching. People, you need to boot me out of here. I am serious. If I've gone off in a direction other than the one God is leading, you best not follow me. And we need to hold that same measure up to every other leader we have. Who do you work for? Who do you vote for? Who do you allow to be a leader in your family? Are you following someone who is godly? Or are you following somebody who is ungodly? If it's ungodly, you're setting yourself up. Because sooner or later, woe upon the wicked, disasters upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. Because it's no defense to say, the leader told me to do it. Didn't work so well for war criminals. It's not going to work any better for heavenly realm warriors and war criminals. But, you know, anybody here remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it! Isn't a good defense. No. It just don't work. My leader made me do it. Well, why are you following your leader? If you're doing something that's contrary to God's will. If they're telling you something, it's not you need to remove them from leadership before God has to come and remove them from leadership. This is the caution and the way we need to watch this. The encouragement to us is that the righteous, tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Please note that here they get two lines out of all that we've been reading here, because that's usually not what's going on. Usually we're following bad leaders. We're making excuses for them. It's easier. You know how difficult it is to go find a job, period, today? Now you're telling me I have to find a job where I can be honest and it's okay for me to work for them? Because maybe it's just the environment that I'm working in isn't good and they're telling me to do things that I know are wrong, or you know, maybe they talk. Maybe just the language is foul. Now I gotta go find a different workplace because you're saying I shouldn't be around that kind of leader? Actually, yeah. You need to at least look. At the very least, you just need to seek to bring correction to the leadership. Point out that, hey, you're not going the right direction here. Certainly, can't be following it. No, God's Word does have some very hard things to say. But we need to recognize and listen to them. Because while God does love us, He is also righteous. He is holy. He is God of His Word. If He says He is going to do something, He will indeed do it. And He has said He will bring judgment upon those who are in rebellion. If we don't do what He has told us to do, People, we need to look and examine not just ourselves when we examine our lives. We need to look at who it is we're following. Are we following good leaders? If not, we need to warn them that they're going the wrong direction. If they won't take that warning and change, then we need to remove ourselves from under that leadership and get away from it, because judgment's coming on them. And if we don't, well, judgment will not just take them, but it will also take us. We will reap the reward as that leadership is removed. Who here has been in the military? No, a couple of you. Now, I wasn't actually in the military, but I was ROTC training for a couple of years. And they were telling us, as Jason calls them, cadidiots. Well, I was a cadidiot. That it is better to do the wrong thing in most instances than to do nothing. A poor leader is better than somebody who's not leading at all. What's the thing to do when a star shell goes off? It's freeze. Now, if you don't give the right order, it's better to give the wrong order than to just have people doing every which thing. If you tell everybody to drop on the ground instead of freezing, well, that's better than just letting everybody keep tromping around, walking through the new star shell, and, oh, look, we got troops walking through this field. If you freeze, see, the human eye sees motion. But you see, we, as a group, do better when we have leadership, even if it's bad leaders, even if it's twisted leaders. Our lives are a little better. But God's judgment here, He's taking away even the bad, good, even the good, bad leadership. Okay? Wrap your mind around that one for a second. He's going to take away even that. And what we're going to be left with is no leadership at all. See a group trying to get something done that has no leadership and doesn't know what they're doing. Doesn't happen. Military that doesn't have strong leadership, where everybody's doing their own thing, gets beat by the ones that know what they're doing and have strong leadership each and every time. God's going to take even that away. He's going to take away the leadership if we're following bad leadership. So don't follow it. Place yourselves under good leadership. It's our responsibility to make sure that whom we are following is somebody worthy to be followed. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your warning. Lord, so often it's easy for us to slip back and say, well, I'm not the one in charge. I'm not responsible. And just sit back and go for the ride. But Lord, you've called us to be more than that. You've said that we are indeed responsible for our brother. And if we see them doing something wrong, we're to try to snatch that fiery stick out of the fire. Lord, you've given us instructions on who we're to follow and how we're to follow and how that leader is supposed to lead. Lord, help us to follow your direction, to truly follow you first and to keep you first in all things. Lord, we thank you for this warning. Now, Lord, help us to examine our lives and examine those who we've placed in or have been placed in leadership above us and over us. And Lord, if it's within our power to remove ourselves from under poor leadership, might we do so? Lord, if it's beyond our strength and power, we ask that you would remove those over us, Lord, that we would not just submit to poor leadership, but instead, Lord, we ask that you would put proper leadership over us, godly leadership. Lord, not those who are seeking to plunder the poor for themselves, or to grind and oppress others, or to dismantle the vineyard and abuse it for quick profit. Instead, Lord, that we have leaders over us who are concerned for each and every person under their care, who are concerned for the long term, not just short term, and who seek to do what is right according to your will and your way. Lord, might we not have leaders who are telling us that what you say is sin is not sin. Lord, might we not say, might we not call that which is sin not sin? Instead, Lord, might we recognize it as such and turn away from it and ask your strength, Lord, to overcome its grasp. Father, let your Holy Spirit strengthen and encourage us and lead us in every step of every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.